cigars.
And
cinema.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna.
And Randy Rankin.
And we were at the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge again, doing the cigars and cinema show.
Absolutely.
So, Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge, if you haven't been there, it's in Richardson. It's a great new shop in the area, right off 75 in Arapaho. Mm-hmm. There is a physical address, but I don't know it. What is it,
Randy? 1002 North Central Expressway, Suite 589. It looks right at the 1050 Barbecue. So, if you get to 1050 Barbecue, you've gone too far. It's right there.
Yep.
Just before it.
Yes, sir.
And it's in Richardson, Texas.
And it's a great shop, beautiful lounge.
Arguably the biggest humidor in town, I think. 800 square feet. That's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, okay. I'll take your word for it.
I think one more that might be a little bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, great selection they have in there. And Matt and Dobie and the crew here
Matt and Dobie are very knowledgeable.
Yep.
Dobie's been in the business for like 904 years or something like that.
That guy's got a history.
And he does.
He's got a family lineage, as
he does.
It were. Yeah.
He's an Elliot from the Sir Elliot's fame back in the day when they owned like every store in town.
Right, right. You know? They had him in malls. Remember that when you could smoke in malls?
Did you not know that story?
Oh, yeah.
Dobie,
go for it.
I used to work directly above Dobie.
Oh, yeah? Where?
At Town East Mall. I worked in the Philly Cheesesteak place, and his suite was directly below ours at one of the Sir Elliot's.
So you were one of the ones who was like, oh, man, I can always smell cigars. It smells like crap. Making our Philly Cheesesteaks
taste
like cigars.
Yeah, but I remember one time we had a backup and it flooded their store.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I don't remember Dobie, but I remember that.
Yeah.
It was weird. We worked right above each other
for
many years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a small world.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge. It's a great shop with a great crew, and they've got a hell of a selection. So, check it out if you're in the area.
And one of the things they have in their selection is by our sponsor of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Christoff Cigars. We're smoking the Pissed Off Christoff.
Great name.
It is.
Great name.
Yeah. Came out at the show, as yours did from last week.
Correct.
Selling like crazy, tasty cigar. When you're in a shop, ask for Pissed Off Christoff.
Make sure you eat some barbecue or something before you smoke it, because it's bold.
It'll get
it's
you.
It's a bold
if you
cigar.
Yeah, you need to have a full stomach.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of flavor. A lot of times you go to a strong cigar without flavor. This one's got flavor.
Mm, for sure, yeah. So what are we talking about today, Randy?
We saw a movie. And all the years we've been hanging out, and as many movies as we've talked about and everything, we've never gone to a movie together.
Correct.
And your family's out of town. It's a holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to see a movie that we both thought looked interesting. Hell or High Water.
Mm-hmm.
With the great Jeff Bridges.
Correct.
And Chris Pine, who I like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't watch Star Trek movies, so I don't know what he's like in those. But I thought he was solid in the Jack Ryan movie. Certainly better than Ben Affleck or some of the other people that have taken on that role.
Yep. And the great Ben Foster, who is a
very underrated. Yeah.
Yeah, very underrated actor.
But a great character actor.
Very, very good. Doesn't do enough. Definitely needs to do more.
Always plays that loose cannon kind of guy.
Yeah,
but he's really
does
good at it.
Does it well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Give
cool,
us the premise.
Cool flick. So the idea here is that Chris Pine and his brother, Ben Foster, are kind of scumbags. Really.
Yeah.
Well, more Ben Foster. Ben Foster's kind of the scumbag. He just got out of prison. Yeah. Was robbing banks. You know, that's why he went to prison. Gets out of prison and, you know, goes to see his brother. And his brother's, you know, in dire straits. Their mom passed away. Their ranch is up for, you know, they've got a lien on it.
Yeah,
foreclosure.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to come up with a way to keep the ranch so they can keep it in the family and give it to Chris Pine's kids.
Yeah, because he's divorced with two kids.
With divorce, yeah, right. He's a divorcee with two kids. And they've recently just found that there's oil on the land, so they definitely want to keep it. They don't want that to go to the bank.
Right, exactly.
So they come up with a plan.
Rob banks.
A jam plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the typical, was there some formula in the movie? Yeah. But that's fine. You know, it was good formula and it worked and they didn't make it very formulaic, but you know.
Yeah.
As with all bank robber movies, they always have the best of intentions when they start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to shoot anybody. You know, I liked their idea with the only 20s, 10s and 5s.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Because, you know, those aren't marked. Those
aren't
traced. You know.
Yeah.
And so they're not getting big hauls from banks,
mm-hmm.
you know, $3,000 to $7,000-$8,000.
Correct.
And nobody gets hurt, and, you know. And Jeff Bridges plays
soon to be retired
Texas Ranger,
mm-hmm.
not the baseball team.
No.
And he's got a half Native American, half Mexican partner that he unrelentlessly teases and makes fun of and pokes, racial stuff. There's nothing on.
There's no safe ground.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing sacred with him. Just, you know.
But the movie's well shot, well acted, well directed. It's got a very Coen Brothers kind of No Country for Old Men kind of feel to it. And it's also been compared to Perfect World, I guess, because of the setting and whatnot, and this, the road movie type thing that's going on. But yeah, we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Witty dialogue.
Yeah, great dialogue. Good characters. You know, a lot of really good chemistry between the characters. You know, you could see Ben Foster and Chris Pine as brothers.
They do love each other. Yeah. They're close.
They're close, yeah. And you can see that Jeff Bridges and his partner have a history, and they just, you know, even though he treats his partner like shit, you can see a smirk on his face every once in a while. He loves the guy, but he's just an asshole.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. And so, his partner puts up with it, and he can just deliver it right back. He's really good at delivering it right back. You know?
Yeah.
And they've got great chemistry together. And I've always, and I guess Perfect World fits in this category too, I always love movies that take place in small towns. Mm. I've always loved that. It feels more real.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when the movie started, I leaned over to Brandon. They're showing these small towns and stuff. And I said, oh, look, we see these towns every day of our lives.
I know. Like when we're driving through these little podunk towns, and you have to slow down to 20 miles an hour.
I said, this looks like every town we drive through.
Right. You know? It does, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I love about it. That's really cool. And some of the names of places, like the famous T-Bone
restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. Famous.
Yeah.
And that's a hilarious scene.
Oh, that scene's awesome. That scene, don't give it away.
So
but
funny. No, great. I won't. But that scene is hilarious. You got to pay attention to that scene. Yeah. And
but it's definitely a movie rich with characters and rich with story and dialogue. And I say rich with story. The story is pretty pat. You know, it's been done before. But the way that they carry it out is very, very nice. And
right.
It's definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen something
like that.
Oh, I'm
going to watch it again. That's I'll definitely see it again. I will watch it again.
Yeah, if you haven't seen a good movie in a long time, if you've only been going to the summer movies that are, you know, you watch it and you forget it like right after you see it, this is something that's going to stick with you. You know, it's got enough of a good story, enough of a good drive for the characters that these guys are—they're not good guys, but you're rooting for them, you know, because of what they're trying to do. But their intentions are good, but the means of going about it is the wrong
inevitably,
way.
Inevitably, something's going to happen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and you know,
and when the aliens come at the end, it's a little
that
kind of messed it up. Yeah, a little bit. But no,
there are no
there's
aliens.
No aliens. Well, there's illegal aliens.
I almost went there, and I was like,
I'm Mexican.
You're Mexican.
I can say
you
that.
Can say that.
Exactly.
Well, I'm Native American, so I could too.
I'm Native American too.
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm more.
What are you?
I've got Comanche, which there's a funny line about Comanches in that movie.
Yeah.
Comanche and Choctaw.
Mescalero, here we are.
That's not a real. That's Mescalero not a real Indian. That's not a real Indian.
Yeah, it is.
And I can say Indian because I am Native American.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can too. We can call them Indians.
There you go. Yeah. But so it's just it's a cool flick. Great cinematography. Well paced. I wasn't ever really bored at all.
And sometimes Coen Brothers will drag on me a little bit. This one was crisp. Crisp. It's an hour and 40. Didn't feel like an hour 40, which that's not long to begin with.
Yeah.
The Coen Brothers would have made that about a 2-hour and 15-minute movie.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Which is not knocking the Coen Brothers. I mean, they're
they do
amazing.
Good work. When they're on, they're spot on. Yeah, when they're off, they're still pretty good.
But yeah, it had a lot of Coen Brother feel to it. Just the dialogue was just, you're laughing in a lot of places. But this isn't giving anything away because bank robberies. So there's going to be guns. I love how they transitioned. Once the violence started, it was realistic violence because a lot of times in movies, you know, they almost glorify it, and it's like, notice they didn't use any like reverberation on the guns. It sounded like that's the way a gun sounds.
Yeah.
They're loud. They're loud. They're deafening. Mm-hmm. And they're hollow sound. Just bam.
Yep.
You know, and this was great. And, I love how it just goes from, then boom, it's violent. But that's why violence happens that way. And it was just so realistic, and I just really loved it.
Yeah.
That really got me going.
Yeah. And a lot of good bit players, too. There's a lot of people in this movie that you'll probably recognize from
other
things.
Who's the chick that you said you'd seen her in 3 movies this week?
Yeah, Dale Dickey is her name.
Yeah, you don't know her name, but she's been in everything.
She always plays the same kind of scumbaggy character.
Down on her luck, redneck kind of.
Yeah, she played a bank teller in this.
Probably at one point was hot. Not really. You know, she always plays the character. Probably at one point was hot, but life's ridden her hard and put her up wet.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you can see she goes home and smokes Marlboros and drinks red wine all night.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Box wine. You know, that's what she does.
Yep.
Not her character. I'm just saying that's just giving a backstory.
Yep.
And then she's always playing that character.
Kathy Mixon's in there as well, and she was, you know, on a couple of TV shows that I used to watch, and and she plays the kind of, you know, she's sexy but a little bit bigger waitress, and she kind of has a little thing with Chris Pine in one scene, and her scene with Jeff Bridges is hilarious.
That was funny.
That was greatness. Yeah. So definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. If you want something that's, you know, just a little deeper than most of the summer fare, this is definitely it. And I'd like to think that it would be up for some stuff. You know, I could see.
It came out late enough in the year, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that necessarily it would be like Best Picture or anything like that, but I think it definitely could get cinematography, story, you know, screenplay, something.
Bridges might get an Academy Award
nomination. Yeah, you never know. You know,
he's and on that level.
And it's Bridges doing his Texas kind of twang, which is always, it always kind of rings a little false for me, but it works in this.
It really does work in this.
It works in this. It works in
Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart. It worked in the Western that he remade.
True Grit.
True Grit. But it doesn't work in other stuff. It didn't work in Ripped because, you know, RIPD or whatever, because he was just, it was a popcorn crap movie.
And I saw some movie with him where he played Justin Timberlake's dad.
Yeah.
Who the hell was a former baseball player. Something. It's a travel movie.
No, you got me.
And his accent was just so phoned in.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it was like right after Crazy Heart, so he was probably like, I've done all my acting for this year. I'll just play this part.
I'll just phone this one in. Yeah. What is that? The Seventh Son? That was crap. The Giver. Is it The Giver?
No. Something like Travel, Long Way Home or something.
Pablo, True Grit, The Man Who Stare at Goats, Crazy Heart. Open Road?
Mm-hmm.
Open Road, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same year as Crazy
Justin
Heart.
Justin Timberlake, yeah. Justin Timberlake's his son. He was a horrible dad.
Yeah.
His dad was a legendary baseball player. His son's trying to become, you know, he's a rookie or he's in the minor leagues, and their mom's dying. Mary Steenburgen's his mom, and she's dying. So he has to go find Jeff Bridges to bring him back. So that's the one thing she wants before she dies, is to be reconnected with Jeff Bridges. It's a decent plot, but man, he phones that in like it is nobody's business.
Well, he's probably, at that point, he's like, who am I in the movie with? Justin Timberlake. Oh, well, I'm not even going to try on this one.
Yeah.
it's Justin Timberlake. He's a you know, Disney guy.
Yeah.
Hell am I going to do with that guy?
Well, Kate Mara's got a nice rack.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, both those sisters do. So just giving a little idea of what Ben Foster's been in, because he's one of these actors that, you know, you've seen him in stuff. He's good in stuff, but you don't really recognize him. And he looks totally different now than he did, you know, early in his career. Mm-hmm. So he's gained a little weight. And so he was in Phone Booth, uncredited in that. I'm trying to go backwards here a little bit and see what I recognize him from the first time. So the first time I remember seeing him in something was probably... No, not that. X-Men: The Last Stand. Alpha Dog. Alpha Dog was a big one. So he was in that.
Didn't that have Justin Timberlake in
that? That did as well, yeah. And then he did 310 to Yuma, which was really his breakout role.
Yeah, it was great.
And he was great in that, stole the show. I thought, oh, this guy's going to go on to bigger, better things, and then did nothing.
Yeah.
30 Days a Night, he was a minor role in that. Did a movie called The Messenger, which I think did pretty well. For a kind of depressing war flick type thing. Mm-hmm. He was in The Mechanic, the remake of that, Contraband, Lone Survivor. He did okay in that, but he got kind of overshadowed. Mm-hmm. The Program, The Finest Hour, and then now Hell or High Water. So just a very good actor. Doesn't do enough. I don't think he'll ever be like a lead actor, but he's definitely a good character actor that needs more work.
You know, his performance, you know, drives the movie in a lot of ways in this movie, you know. Because Chris Pine has to play he has to be the stoic one.
Uh-huh.
He's the moral compass, you know, because they're doing it for him. He's never, what they said, the only time he ever appeared in court was at his divorce hearing, you know.
Yeah, right.
He's a squeaky clean guy. See, now he can't show a lot of character. He's got to be the quiet one. And, you know, so you need someone like the Ben Foster character to get the movie going. And he does. He does a great job at it.
Even though there's a scene in there when when they're at a casino and he's got a hooker, obviously a hooker hitting on him. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the most he really gets to do in the movie. Mm-hmm. You can see him conflicted. He's like, I really want to do this, but do I do it? I need to stay on the straight and narrow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've got a goal here. Mm-hmm. And then his brother comes in and just just destroys that whole situation.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was greatness. So good.
Yeah.
But if you haven't...
It's got an 8.3 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's got a very high rating. It's not full release at this point, so you might have to track it down. So if you have like Alamo Drafthouse or
one of those Angelica
smaller art kind of film theater type things. You'd probably have to go there to see it.
But it didn't feel like an art film in any way, shape.
No, but it seemed like an A movie. I mean, it's, you know, the cinematography was spot on. There was nothing in the special effects. I mean, there was a couple of special effects, but they all looked pretty natural.
They kind of used that John Ford theory in that let the landscape be a part of the movie.
Exactly.
And that's what they do in this movie.
There's a lot of long there's a lot of long takes, a lot of long shots. There's a lot of, you know, pulled back wide shots of the landscape. And there is the, you know, I started at the beginning of the movie that what first take in the movie is like 5 minutes, you know, before the camera even cuts away from anything. So it you know, lets the story go, which not a lot of movies nowadays do, because most movies are quick cuts and, you know, just all about the visual art of it and not about the story. And this is very story-driven, very character-driven. So if you like that type of flick, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's a thumbs up.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I have to ask you something, because I notice, like, stupid stuff in the movies.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, that Jeff Bridges mustache he had?
Yeah.
And because he's looking older now and... Did he not look like Kris Kristofferson with that mustache? There was a couple of scenes where I was like, holy crap, they look identical.
Yeah, it's kind of wispy, kind of fucked up. Yeah. Just, you know, not a great mustache.
You know,
scraggly kind
of face. And he's got a cap or a cowboy hat, so you can't see his hair. Yep. I'm like, holy shit, that's Kris Kristofferson right there. Yeah, funny.
And what I loved about this movie, too, is that the visual style was spot on. The set design was spot on. It seemed like every set was lived in. You know, when you see the mother's room, it looked like what you would expect that mother's room to look like. There was nothing out of place in the film. If there's one scene that I think could have been cut, would have probably been... There's a scene
when
where...
When the aliens came in.
When the aliens came in, yeah. That was... No, when they're driving and there's all those cows in the street and there's a fire going on, that was kind of an odd
scene. It was like... Seems superfluous.
It seems superfluous, like it could have been cut, but at the same time, it just shows you the day in
life. What life is like in West Texas.
Yeah, this is what happens in West Texas, and this is, you know, what's going to, this is what just goes on. It's weird shit like this, you know?
Okay, and once another little thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to punch Jeff Bridges in the face when they were talking about that fire.
Yeah.
And so I'll eventually run into the Brazos. And I'm like, it's not called the Brazos. It's the Brazos.
Right.
He called it the Brazos. I'm like, what?
Well. You can't be 100% perfect. Someone should have checked him on that, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's stuff like that that it was probably a superfluous scene, but it didn't feel superfluous until after the fact. Like, and then when you're watching the movie, it just kind of flows and it goes with the movie. But after the fact, you're like, well, they didn't really need that. But that's it. I mean, I can't think of another scene in the movie that didn't push the story forward, you know?
Did the T-Bone Steak place push the story forward? No, but it was funny. And
it was a great scene. Yeah.
And it showed small-town Texas life. And that's what you needed to have at that moment, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
That scene is hilarious, though.
It's a great scene. Great scene. I want to find that place. That's a real place. I'm going there.
Yeah. Look at that place up.
I want that waitress. She was awesome. That's what, you know, and it seems like that when you go into the message boards for this movie on IMDb, there's people talking about that scene. It's like, I want that waitress. Where's that restaurant? You know, it's like, it's real. It has a real feel to it. It feels like something that could actually happen, that someone talks about in a cigar shop. Oh, I went to this restaurant and this lady was the worst waitress in the world, and she just, you know, it's great.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's something that, you know, it was superfluous, but it fits so well into the overall feel of the movie.
It was great.
Yeah. It was greatness. Yeah,
and it's so funny. But back to the small town America, you know, especially small town Texas or in the South, because I know there's small towns all over the country, but you know, we see them in the South, and it seems like there's more of them. And, you know, and there was a couple of scenes where they would be driving down the highway and you'd see the stuff on the side of the road. And it looked like a junkyard, but you could tell at one point it was probably some factory and where people were probably getting jobs, and that was what was keeping the town alive. Now it's closed. And I thought this watching the movie, and I think it too, when I'm driving past these things, I'm like, how did you get all that clutter? How did all that clutter show up? Didn't somebody along the way said, let's sell this stuff for scrap metal or something?
Right.
You know, but it's just all cluttered, and you're just like, no one's probably walked within 100 yards of that place in 30 years, you know?
Right, right.
But, you know, we see it all the time, so it was kind of cool to see that in the movie.
Yeah, it definitely had a real feel to it. Whoever the person that was scouting for locations and stuff did a really good job of kind of representing Texas, even though it was mostly filmed in New Mexico. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But we could tell a lot of it. I could tell some scenes in Texas.
Yeah,
the Lubbock stuff seemed like it was in Lubbock. I don't know if it was. They did a great job of passing it off as Lubbock.
Yeah. And what's funny is like it's one of those, it's one of the few movies, when you go see movies, typically, you know, you want to suspend disbelief, and but sometimes some stuff is just so out there, you're just like, oh, come on. Like,
right.
You didn't, you know, how could you miss that? How could you not address this? Where it becomes plot holes at this point. And the big one for us, or at least for me when I was sitting there watching, is like, well, they're robbing these banks and no one's pulled out a gun yet. This is Texas. Everybody has guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they addressed that pretty close to the beginning.
Right.
And then it got addressed big time later
on.
So, you know, so it was accurate in,
exactly.
in its portrayal of Texas. So
and
I can totally see what happened happening in real life.
Oh yeah. You know? Oh, absolutely.
Just, you know, Texas vengeance.
Everybody. You're in a room with 10 people, 8 of them got guns minimum.
Yep. Exactly.
And other two just forgot to carry their gun that day.
Right.
That's what
they're like,
is.
Oh, shit, it's in the truck. You know, that's basically what it is.
You know.
So, that was definitely addressed, and it was addressed well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, things get intense near the end. It's a good flick. And it had the ending felt very No Country for Old Men as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it, you know, it was classified as a modern day Western, and I can definitely see that in the way that when you think of Westerns, there's a certain way that characters interact with each other. There's always a level of respect when you are talking to an enemy because you know that, you know, I don't know this person. I don't know what they're, you know, what they might be able to do or what I'm, but I'm going to put my best foot forward, let them do it, and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that between Jeff Bridges and the other characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see that. I mean, I love those type of interactions.
Yeah.
You don't get enough of those in movies. Yeah. You get them in Bond movies, but they're like highly, you know, suspect. They're never realistic in Bond movies.
Right. Yeah, it had a Western feel for sure. A little faster pacing than most Westerns, which is probably good for this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, you and I don't mind I'll watch a 2.5-hour Western.
Yeah, I'm okay with a slow burn.
You know,
as long as the story's good and the characters are good, I'm fine with it. But,
you know, this one moves really well.
Yeah.
And no, it's best movie I've seen in a theater in a long time.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And probably I'd say the best movie I've seen this year overall, because it's been a decent year for popcorn movies, you know, like Deadpool and stuff like that. But as far as good, solid movies with a plot and good acting, this, hands down, is the first one that I've been like, okay, this might be actually Oscar-worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping it gets the accolades,
some
sort of recognition that it I think
well,
it deserves.
Well, you know, you tease me, because I don't watch superhero movies, I don't watch science fiction movies and stuff, and you're always, oh, you watch artsy-fartsy stuff. No, I like this kind of movie. That's the movie I want. I want every movie to be like this.
Yeah, a low-grade B horror movie. Yeah.
Well, that too.
Those are the two genres that you like. Yeah.
I want to feel like I know I've met these people before.
Yeah.
You know, I've met somebody like Chris Pine. I've met somebody like Ben Foster.
Yeah.
Character. I've met those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like to feel that. Crazy Heart has that in it.
Yeah.
Perfect World, which I still don't see the connection totally, but has that in it. A lot of Billy Bob Thornton movies from the South, like Sling Blade. I know those guys.
Yeah.
I know a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it.
One False Move as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I like that. I like character driven, good plot, not a lot of CGI. Less CGI, the better for me.
Yeah.
And that's what you get in these kind of movies. You don't get CGI in these kind of movies. And I love that.
Yep. And again, if it goes back to giving the actors something to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's worthwhile. Because, I mean, these performances were good. They were very natural. Nobody was over the top. Nobody was trying to be over the top.
No.
Every performance fit the film and fit the story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get into the summer blockbuster stuff, typically it's, you know, over the top. It's very, you know, soap opera-ish and cheesy. And that's what most of those, you know, summer popcorn movies are. Mm-hmm. They're just over the top cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to, I mean, I can't say that I'm going to own, you know, some of those popcorn summer, but I would definitely own this. I mean, I could see watching this on a couple of once a year type thing.
Yeah, it'd be in my rotation for sure.
I would definitely enjoy it.
Yeah.
So,
and I started to watch Crazy Heart last night because I hadn't seen it in a couple of years to get prepared for this.
Yeah,
but I want to fall asleep. So I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yep.
It got me in the mood for it. I'm going to watch Crazy Heart tonight.
And thank you for not talking through the entire movie, because you never know when you go to a movie with somebody. Sometimes you go to a movie with someone.
I don't talk during movies.
No, I know you don't. That's what I'm saying. But I was kind of, there's a little sense of fear when you go see a movie with a friend, where you're like, oh God, I hope he doesn't talk the whole fucking time.
I mean, I said something about, oh look, we drive through that town all the
time.
Well,
I said one thing about something else too. But that's it. I mean, you just leave it to
watching the movie.
Yeah. Not everybody's like that, though.
And the funny thing was, you and I were laughing our asses off during this movie, and I didn't hear anybody else laughing.
I know, right?
As a matter of fact, when we left, the audience seemed like somber, and I'm like, what the fuck? That's a good movie, man.
Yeah.
You know? I had a good time.
I had a great time, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely find it in your area. Go see it. It's worth a watch. If it doesn't happen to be in your area, wait for it to come out on video on demand or Redbox or whatever, and you know, Amazon, Netflix, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And definitely put it in the rotation and give it a watch. I think you'll definitely enjoy it. If you like a good film with good characters and well-directed, well-written, everything.
Yeah, that moves along.
Yeah.
Keeps it going.
I give it a thumbs up if I was going to do a thumbs up thing.
Ooh, that's a nice. How come nobody ever thought of that? So, like, if you don't like it, it would be a thumbs down?
Yeah, and if you like it maybe a little bit, it'd be like a side thumb kind of side thumb thing.
Yeah, she didn't like that.
Side thumb. No, most people. Well, okay. You got to close the thumb and just go fisted.
I knew I shouldn't have gone there.
See what you
Lord,
did.
Lord, I apologize.
See what you did there. See what you did.
Open that can of worms. Oh, they did use one of my favorite lines, but we won't run that because it was funny when he said that.
Yeah, they did. We cracked up. That was another time we were both laughing our asses off and no one else was. Like, come on.
That was funny.
And it was just such a throwaway, too. It was like,
boom. It was during an intense moment.
I know, right?
It's great.
Which is exactly when you need to do that.
Man, I love the old cars, you know? I mean,
yeah.
They drive like a old like Z28 at the beginning, and then it's a Crown Vic. And like Ford Taurus from like 1990
that
or
old,
something.
That old fucked up truck with the windows blasted out of the back and stuff. Yeah.
The cars were great.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's a cool flick. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
All right, so where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and Instagram.
Excellent.
They can't find us on it. They can't find the show on Instagram, but
yeah.
I'm at RandyRankin95 on Instagram.
And I'm at CaptainFunkyPants.
And I'm at RandyRankin43. On Twitter.
Oh, wait. No, Captain Funky Pants is my Twitter.
Yeah.
My Instagram is Cigar_Luna.
Cigar_Luna.
Yep.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Oh, there was a Luna's Cafe or something.
There is. Yeah, there was a Luna's Cafe. Funny. Yeah. Yeah, you said that. Luna's Cafe. I'm like, I was going.
That's funny. And there was a Kevin Rankin in the movie. So we had Luna's Cafe, and one of the actors' names was Kevin Rankin. So there we go. We were both represented in the movie.
Excellent.
That cool.
Excellent.
That was cool. Little quick thing, you mentioned it to me. I was already on top of it. We're cool. Joe Wagner's cancer walk is going on right now.
Okay.
And you know, my brother passed away from cancer last year.
Correct.
And I've always supported it. To me, it's even more important to me now that we support it. Just going, it's a Light the Light, and it's for lymphoma and leukemia. And just click on Jill Wagner and donate to that. It's a great cause. And she does it every year. She does the walk, too. She doesn't just try to get money and stuff. She actually goes out, does the walk, does it every year. So,
yeah, definitely.
Help her out. It's a good
cause.
For
a worthy cause, yes, yeah, for absolutely. Sure. All right, so as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy. See, I did it this time.
You did it right.
Yeah.
Woohoo!